Good evening. I am Lisa Feely, your host for An Accountable Catholic. As you know, on our show last week, we discussed how the lack of accountability ties into our faith and the choices we make. Tonight, we're going to discuss how accountability comes from making being accountable an everyday habit. So every day is really one step at a time, one decision at a time, and not trying to just miraculously become accountable overnight and then have it last the rest of our life. It really doesn't work that way. It's kind of a lot like exercise and I think staying in shape. So we are really excited tonight. We have a special guest, Mr. Elon Cyrilovich. And Elon is the CEO of eGuard Watches, and he is joining me for a discussion on everyday accountability. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Terrific. So we were chatting about accountability and every day, how we as Christians really need to make an effort to consider how we're positively contributing to our loved ones and our friends. And I like to call it, I guess, the circle of influence. And then how that really rolls into our community, right? In our community, in our state, in our country. So tell us a little bit, if you will, and our listeners about your background. And it sounds like you've probably learned quite a few things about accountability growing up and becoming a CEO.
My background, do you want me to run through where my parents are from and all
yes,
that stuff?
Yes, would love for you to cover how you grew up and, you know, how you felt like you learned about accountability.
Sure. So I'm a mutt. my mom's from the Middle East and my dad's from Eastern Europe, both from unique backgrounds, and I'm a first generation American. And I grew up with a lot of personal accountability. Luckily, from a sad point of view, my parents had been through very, very hard upbringing, that to escape their country, and you know, watching their experiences and watching kind of what they went through and learning about it, the kind of problems you may run into in a first world country just don't compare on any level. So there was always kind of this scale of like, okay, whatever problem I'm facing, it's really not on par to what they went through. I should be able to face it. I should be able to deal with it. And so that was kind of always a guiding light in my life, to not see myself as a victim.
That gave you an early dose of realism. That's great. Yes.
Yeah, it really goes a long way to kind of setting a precedent in your life that you can do more than you realize, and that when you're faced with adversity, it's an opportunity to fight in the face of adversity. Adversity is in many ways a gift. Without adversity, you're never going to get to the place where you are exceptional. And I always kind of look at these stories where there's someone, let's say, this is so random, but let's say there's someone who's extremely obese and they lose a ton of weight. Now, they're not some professional bodybuilder. They're not super, super built. They're not 5% body fat and like on a magazine cover. But we appreciate them so much more even than the person who achieves that kind of great body, that perfect, you know, model cover, whatever that is. We appreciate them more because we know that they overcame adversity. We can see it. We can see that their progress from going from very, very, very overweight to adopting, you know, this new lifestyle, to getting to even to a place where we would consider it, you know, a healthy weight and not exceptional, is an amazing accomplishment, because adversity allows us to shine, and that is an example of overcoming adversity. You know, whatever that battle is to overcome is where greatness actually comes from. And so luckily early on, I had seen those things. I had also had some health issues that I had to overcome, which was a very, very hard thing for me. The only thing that's ever almost broken me in life was my health issues. And so that was something that also taught me to say, okay, well, I have a choice on how I'm going to deal with my health, right? I can choose to be miserable every day, or I could choose to be happy. And it really does come down to a choice. And that no matter how I'm feeling, there's a difference between how I'm feeling and physically, in terms of like, I'm in pain, I have actual, whatever that physical illness is doing to me at that moment. I have an autoimmune disease, which attacked my spine, which attacked my joints, attacked my skin, my heart, everything in my body. However that was making me feel physically didn't have to make me feel emotionally. Actually, it goes back into the whole religion thing, because that having something to believe in, again, bigger than yourself, really allows you to off-put a lot of that. And so in terms of adversity, I feel like facing adversity early on allowed me to become more accountable for myself.
Right. No, I love how you put that. And I do think that's why God gives us trials to go through, right? If everything was just honky-dory, I think many people would feel like, oh, we don't need anything else, right? We're doing it all on our own, and we're not doing it on our own. We really have to, you know, you can learn lessons, right? And you did, and you learned a better way. And then, like you said, being accountable is, I think it's like a habit you build. I'm a very big believer of like the 7 effective habits or whatever that book is, where you learn these habits and then it brings you more joy because you're you know that you can accomplish something, right? And you don't accept you accept a growth mindset and not a victim type mindset. And I'm would love your thoughts, because again, you went from being a student of the arts and acting to being a very successful CEO. Can you tell us kind of that journey and maybe some ups and downs in that, and how, you know, how you, I guess, are trying to maybe hopefully help even others in your company, right? Teaching employees accountability and what success and failure looks like, right?
Sure. So, I had always loved the arts, any form of art. I paint, I act, I direct, I do whatever I can do to kind of get myself out there. And that's how I express myself. It's always just been the thing that I've been naturally attracted to doing. And the watches are kind of an extension of that. As I design the watches, I feel like I'm making art pieces. And so obviously trying to do all these things, especially in acting, just to get into it a little bit, one of the reasons that you see so many kind of abuses and such disgusting behavior in the acting world or the Hollywood is because of the issues that exist. In other words, it's somewhat of a parasitic industry where you're reliant on other people. You're completely dependent on other people if you're an actor to create your career for you. So by nature, you will kind of be pushed into this situation where you feel like a victim if you're not booking a part or you're not able to get the role because you're completely dependent. It's not within your power. And so like the actors who are really, really, I would say successful and independent are the ones who are creating their own content and going out and doing their own stuff. Now, Hollywood itself doesn't really make it conducive to doing that. One of the things I'm doing now, which is very important to me, is because of the kind of philosophy that Hollywood has, which I would say is not really pro God, not really pro my beliefs, is to start making films that do support what I believe. And so now I'm out making my own films, and that's kind of my next big project.
Holy cow, that's fantastic. That's great.
We have a slate of films that we're going to be doing, and all of them are, one of them is a pro-life film. One of them, and we're not ashamed of it. We're not backing away from it. This is what it is. One of them is celebrating fatherhood and masculinity, and it's a true story of someone I know that lost custody of their son and was vilified. And it's a very sad story, but it all turned out well. And we're putting these stories out because we want to affect culture, and we want to say, hey, there's a place where we can make these movies, and we're not ashamed of it. And we're gonna put them out, and hopefully people enjoy them. But by doing that, I am kind of turning my back on Hollywood and everything I've worked for, but it's just where the world is today. It's so polarized.
Right.
In terms of your question, though, about accountability for, trying to teach people about accountability within my company or within people in my circle of influence, I like that you said that. I think that's a great way to put it, is I really do believe in a lead by example approach. Right. So if I can be going through something bad and still be pushing through, and I can be doing more work than my employees, even though I don't need to, I could be there, 14 hours a day doing stuff that I don't need to be doing, and just really showing like, hey, I care about this. I want you to care about it. That's the best way. You don't change people by bossing them into something. You change people by leading them into something.
Absolutely.
And so I always take that approach.
Terrific. And I think that goes for faith and your choices, like you said earlier, for sure. Because if they see you do have faith in a greater being, in God, and you have, and the choices you're making are are really leading to what you believe is success, right? And the betterment of others, yourself and others. I think that's really what God wants from all of us, right? Using the talents he gave us. You know, accountability, I get told sometimes, well, accountability, it's just so overwhelming. I mean, we have so much going on in our life, right? We're moms and dads and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and employees. And obviously, I just listen to you and look at everything you have going on, right? You're a CEO of a successful watch company. You still do some acting. You're creating your own media company, and you're doing movies, and you're doing radio shows like with people like me. So how do you do that every day? What would you say gets you out of bed, Elon, every day? And what would you, if you could, say to a room full of, I'm going to say 20-year-olds, let's say there's 5,000 20-year-olds in front of you, Elon, what would you tell them about, you know, how do you live your truth, and how do you make sure that you're not listening to a lot of this other noise that you and I know are out there, and it's, I'm going to say, corrupting them. I'm sorry, I can't think of another word, but it's making them believe that they have to be defined by something that God, you know, never ever did I hear, you know, when I read God's word, you know, hey, Lisa, make sure you know you're a female, and make sure, you know, you're this old, and you're white, and you're black, and you're Asian, and you're this, and you're that. It wasn't that. It's, we're all children of God, right? And we're all, you know, born where we can follow his truth. And again, in the Gospel of John, he says, if you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what is your thoughts? What advice would you give to those 20-year-olds in front of you?
Well, number one, I would say that your priorities, whether you're honest with yourself about them or not, will define your actions, right? So what's important to you? And you got to know your priorities, because a lot of us are just unconsciously living our lives. And we're not living our lives based on things that were, like I said, we're being driven by priorities that are subconsciously there that may have been pushed on us. And so we feel social pressure. We feel these things, and we start acting toward those kind of things, what makes us comfortable, what makes us feel safe. And a lot of the time you have to be willing to step outside of that and say, well, what's really important to me? What do I really believe in? And so my advice would be to always live to your true priority and make sure that those things are, in fact, your priorities. Look, if someone comes to me and tells me, hey, and I'll say this, the biggest influences for me for religion have never been people who've told me what I have to believe. It's been people who've just been living their lives to the fullest and had a sense of peace to them that I found so beautiful, that I was so attracted to it, that I sought it out and I wanted to learn from it.
And that's so great. Yep, I agree.
Yeah, and so that, what I'll say is that if people are seeking that kind of peace and that kind of truth, they'll find it. And even with all the noise, with all the corruption out there, people are turning toward God more today. Ever since the coronavirus, the lockdowns, people are searching for truth, because it kind of threw it in their face. In many ways, it was like, here, what is your priority now? Now you're alone, you're stuck in your house. All the other noise is starting to dissipate. And so what do you believe in? And I think that in many ways, people need that. They need to disengage from the world for a little bit. And I don't think the coronavirus is a good thing. I don't think, I'll be honest, I don't think lockdowns are a good thing. But
no, but always good comes from something. Like you said, right? It's adversity. So it makes us, makes us dig deep and say, you know, were we taking advantage, right, of things that we hadn't seen our family? Well, now guess what? You don't get to see your family. So now what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree.
Well, I spoke to a pastor. It was really interesting. He has a church that went online because of coronavirus. And he's like, we have tens of thousands of people signing on and coming and praying with us and finding God. And it's like, well, that wouldn't have happened without, like we were talking previously, without the adversity of the coronavirus, which made you change your way to go online. And so there's a reason for all of it. But in terms of how do you influence 20-year-olds, I do feel like it's not fair to put it on a 20-year-old nowadays who's been exposed to nothing but these narratives his whole life. It's on us to create the culture around it where it becomes acceptable and even celebrated to believe these things again. And that's why I'm starting the media company, because until people do that kind of stuff, to say, well, what advice can I give a 20-year-old? Well, they're in an impossible situation. Their entire circle is against.
A million percent agree with you there. That's right. Yeah, they don't. There are not a lot of options, right? Exactly.
There are not a lot of options. Yeah, it's really hard. It is hard. Well, and I think we need to be understanding of that, and we need to say, okay, I get it, and again, show that they're lead by example.
Right.
That's it.
So, Elon, you made a great point in what you would tell, you know, 5,000, 20-year-olds, and that really it's on us, right? We have to lead by example, and we have to make our lives kind of a shining light that they are interested in, right? And once, like you said, once you kind of learned from others and saw some people living some great lives, you took it upon yourself to say, whatever they're doing, right, I'd like to learn from. And I was wanting to say that I couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, my parents taught us as little children, birds of a feather flock together, choose your friends wisely, right? And I always tried to teach my husband, I taught our daughters, choose your husbands wisely too, or partners in life, mm-hmm. You know, whether that be spouse or, you know, whatever, but choose who you're associating with. And in my book, I say, you know, make sure that that person has a good moral compass, that they're really lifting you up, because there is a wrong crowd and a right crowd, right? So as I asked the last few questions during a radio show here, I mean, I do think that we have to make accountability a habit. And I do think that we should not squander talents that God gave us. How do you feel like you try to embrace the talents God gave you? And talk a little bit about, you'd mentioned earlier, some of the media and I guess mediums that you're using to get the word out to try to give more choices, right, to the younger generation to learn a better way or a different way.
Sure. So I, in terms of embracing, any talent that I might naturally have given by God, I would say is that when something just feels right, I don't shy away from it. I go toward it. So if I enjoy something and I feel like I'm good at it, I try and seek it out to its fullest potential to see where I can fit on the spectrum of things. I've always found it fascinating to see people great at things. So I always strive to be, I hope to be great at something. You know what I mean? I'm always seeking that thing out. In terms of the mediums we're creating, like I said, we're trying to create an entire platform that kind of allows people to feel like they don't have to shy away from what they believe in. They don't have to shy away from what's right, and that it's okay, and to start trying to have an effect on culture so that, like you said, these 20-year-olds and these 15-year-olds and even younger can start watching things and seeing things that aren't so one-sided. So that's really where we're trying to affect things.
Very good. And you know, when I look at trying to do that in today's world, I mean, like you said, you pretty much had to go outside of what you were used to out in Hollywood and everywhere else to create it yourself, because I think so many people would prefer that we have a more victim attitude, right, or mindset, and join the crowds and, you know, follow that way. But to me, that path is, while it might be seen as an easier path, it's not a pretty path in the long run. And I don't mean to be cynical, but I think that, you know, some people think it's easier. Well, it's an easier path to take. You know, why fight them? Just join them. You know, and it's easier to blame someone else for why I didn't get a job and didn't get my better grades and didn't make the team. As you kind of look back over last 10 years, do you think there's any one or two particular reasons that this dramatic shift, I mean, on an earlier radio show with me, and I agree with what you said, it seems that we're moving faster and faster toward what we really know in our hearts wrong, whether it's, you know, the late-term abortion issue in just over 6 or 8 years. And I look back and, you know, on some of the people I were involved in helping, you know, get them into different offices or leadership positions where you know, they've got had great moral compass. Today, like I guess I would say, and I don't know him personally, but I don't think Martin Luther King or Ronald Reagan or JFK would recognize America today. So as a Christian,
I mean, Martin Luther, you know, yeah, Martin Luther King was adamantly against identity politics. I mean, his most famous phrase is a counter-identity politics phrase.
That's right.
And so,
but a lot of people don't know our history too well either, do they?
No, no, sadly. Look, it's very kind of self-satiating, I guess the word is, to be part of a group collective, to be part of an identity politics category, because then you no longer have any personal responsibility. If you're failing in life, it's not your fault. It's everyone else's fault. If you don't want to work today, it's because the world is hard against you. So you should just stay home and it's everyone else's problem. I mean, there's a degree of like, it is an appealing kind of approach because it's comfortable and it's easier than saying, okay, I'm ultimately fully responsible for any outcome in my life and I have to deal with it. That's accepting full responsibility, and accepting full responsibility is always hard. The outcome is better, obviously, when you accept full responsibility. You live a better, more complete life. You're in the end of the day happier. But if you're young or if these messages are constantly thrown at you, then it's very easy to just fall into line and be like, okay, well, kind of like the appeal of everyone who says, we're going to pay for everything in your life. Don't worry about it. You
right.
just sit back and do nothing.
Like, right.
Of course, it's going to appeal to a certain segment of the population. Human incentive is to go the route the easiest route, the route that's most comfortable. You have to fight yourself to take the harder road. You have to go against your natural inclination. Why do I think all these messages are out there and why do I think it's accelerating? I think it's accelerating because the people behind it actually want to take the place of God. I don't think they see themselves as the replacement for God. I've noticed a lot of, not to put down anyone who's an atheist, but there's two classifications of atheists for me, or non-believer. There's people who don't believe and that's fine and they mind their own business and they let you live yours. But then there's this whole other category, which is a massive amount of people, and they hate God. They hate religion. In other words, they have to get in your face about it. They've created their own religion, which is anti-religion, anti-God. If you look at a lot of the movements that are taking place, it's not so much that they just want to live their own life and let you live your life the way you want to live. They want to tell you how to live your life and what you have to believe in, which is
absolutely
for them taking.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yep. So a lot of these, institutions, politicians, education, they're not saying like, oh, here's multiple points of view and you could believe what you want. They're saying, this is what we believe. We've now taken this place. We are the people who know what's best.
We're smarter than you. That's right. We're smarter than you. Yes.
Not only smarter, that they know objective truth, and that if you disagree with them, you are evil. And those objective truths, a lot of time, that they've created for themselves are in direct contradiction to what religion preaches and says. So there's a conflict there. They want to take the place of God.
Yes. Yeah, because...
And it's on all those key... And it, by the way, it's no coincidence that it's on the most important subject or issues around abortion. If you can devalue human life to that extent, again, you can convince people anything. Biology, gender. If you can make gender disappear, there are no longer objective truths. You can look at every subject that they attack, every issue that they attack, are attacks on basic objective truths that have been around since the beginning of time. And if you can convince a mass amount of people to side with you, you have essentially taken the place of God. You have shifted reality.
Well, in the sanctity of marriage, right? And what marriage looks like. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And raising children. Yes.
Any subject. Yeah. Yep. So
you can have babies whenever you want, or you can discard babies whenever you want. Sure. No, this is a challenge that we are facing in our Catholic community for sure. And I couldn't agree more with you. And I do think, like you said, I agree with you. What's really caused it is total recreation of what's right and what's wrong, and really then demonizing, right, the rest of us who are believing the real truth, the only truth, which comes from God. And he says, I am the truth, the light, and the way. And we somehow have, the younger generation have not been taught those lessons, and that needs to be. We need to create that again and help them understand there's there's better ways. So love your watches and love the messages that you are getting out, you know, separate even, but your watch company has obviously taken on a life of its own in addition to the beautiful watches. But talk to us a little bit about, so our listeners can hear about how you're giving to charity as well with your watches, like to police, I know is one. I think you give to a couple of other foundations. So will you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Last year we gave to the Bob Woodward Foundation, which is a great foundation for injured veterans. This year we're focusing on police just because we felt like they were so attacked.
You know, that could be a whole other radio show, Elon. I agree. So,
what's that?
I said that could be a whole other radio show, as you and I discussing how we're attacking those that are good and are helping our country. But yes.
Well, again, yeah, you have to ask yourself why. Why would the people who are the line between order and chaos be the ones who are most attacked by the very people who want to take the place of God?
That's right.
You know, and who
That's
are putting right. out these counter. Truth, these messages that are, you know, counter to truth. They're the ultimate line of defense against the chaos that these people actually seek.
Right. And get people living in fear, which if you love God and have God at the center of your life, you don't live in fear because you're a Christian soldier, you know, and we put on his armor every day. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. So Bob Woodruff and a few other foundations with the police, and how can someone learn about those?
We send out a newsletter from our website if you're on our newsletter. We just sent one out today asking our customers and newsletter subscribers for a third charity for us to donate to.
Oh, terrific.
To actually seek out personal, if you wanted to just go like on a personal level and learn about the charities we are donating to. COPS is one of them, just COPS, C-O-P-S. And Cannonball Memorial Run.
Okay.
And
we're going
to have the third one chosen.
Terrific. And we go to www.eguardwatches.com and learn a lot about this as well, right?
We're going to be putting up the information at the end of the year for the charities that we're donating to. We're donating before the end of the year. So as soon as we do, we don't want to put it up before we donate, but we just wanted to get that third charity in there. So we asked our customer base just today, actually. We just sent out the newsletter today.
Oh, that's great. Coming up on Christmas, a great time to get in the Christmas spirit. So, well, Elon, again, always a pleasure to have you on the show, and you're a wonderful Christian, and I appreciate all the positive messages you're sharing with everyone out there. We have come to the end of another show, and thank you for joining us this evening. It was wonderful having you on the show, and if you'd like to learn more about how to be accountable and embrace enlightenment, peace, and prosperity, visit us at Carolina Catholic Radio. Have a blessed week, and look forward to having you listen in again next Thursday at 5 p.m.
Carolina Catholic Radio is excited to announce an alliance with Lisa Feely, author of An Accountable American. Her new book offers a blueprint to every person who wants to embrace how to be accountable. Learn how positively to impact your life and the lives of anyone around you. 50% of the book profits will be donated to a local 501c3 Catholic charity, including Carolina Catholic Radio and those affiliated with us. 2020 was a tough year for many people. Consider donating to charity by buying a copy of An Accountable American, just $20, on our website. Achieving accountability is a great way to start the new year. If you want to learn how to achieve enlightenment, peace, and prosperity, this is a great start.